السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
I came here to Denmark approximately 11 years ago, and one does not realize how quickly time goes by. There will be many who were children at the time and have now grown up, and also there will be many who have now become parents. But Almighty has also greatly blessed the Jamaat here, and they have now acquired a spacious hall next to the mosque, offices, library, and many other facilities. Similarly, the house which was acquired opposite the mosque has also been expanded and now has an accommodation for a missionary, a guest house, and a large hall. This is all due to the blessings of God Almighty. If your numbers have increased and there has been an increase in your wealth, and God Almighty has also expanded the community in terms of His buildings, then surely we should be grateful to God Almighty for all of these things. However, how can one be grateful, and what are the rightful dues of expressing this gratitude? We are those who have accepted the Imam of this age and firmly believe that we have accepted the person regarding whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that even if faith was to ascend to the Pleiades, he would bring it back. Therefore, we should also make our thoughts in line with the thoughts of a true believer. We should not be content by being grateful superficially or by simply saying Alhamdulillah, i.e. all praise belongs to Allah, as merely a lip service. Rather, we should reflect on whether we are putting God Almighty's commandments into practice. And are we spending our lives like a true believer, as explained by God Almighty and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And which has been unfolded in this age by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. As I mentioned before, that I came here 11 years ago, And even then, I drew the attention of the Ahmadis here towards this. And I often draw attention towards this. And now, through the facility and the blessing of MTA, which God Almighty has granted us, now my words are reaching every Ahmadi, but providing that they wish to listen. In any case, I mentioned that it was a great blessing of God Almighty that He enabled your forefathers to accept Ahmadiyyat. And this blessing of Allah the Almighty is due to some pious deed of theirs. However, in order to continue this blessing of God Almighty, it is necessary that we excel in piety and improve upon our spiritual conditions. Otherwise, we should remember that if we stop in our tracks and if we discard our religious matters, then we will distance our next generation from faith, and we will also deprive them of the special grace of Allah the Almighty. The special grace of God, which the Holy Prophet ﷺ had foretold. In other words, the advent of the promised Messiah ﷺ and his acceptance. If the progeny of those whose forefathers accepted Ahmadiyyat become distant from Ahmadiyyat, then they will be depriving themselves of the prayers of their forefathers. God Almighty certainly rewards piety, and one's progeny also benefits from this if one does a good deed and does it sincerely for God Almighty. However, God Almighty also states that one must correct one's practice so that the grace of God Almighty continues. Our forefathers accepted Ahmadiyyat and departed from this world while having fulfilled their pledge of Bayt. And they departed with the desire and prayer that their future generations will also fulfill this pledge. Therefore, at this moment in time, there are many among you who need to reflect upon whether they are fulfilling this pledge which their forefathers had instructed them about, or the path they wanted them to adopt. We need to self-reflect whether we are fulfilling our pledge of Bayt, or are we simply following the faith of our forefathers out of tradition? And merely out of family and societal connections, we are sat here and are part of the Jamaat. Similarly, those who personally accepted Ahmadiyyat also need to self-reflect whether they have tried or are trying to excel in their faith and improve their practice. Or was their acceptance of Ahmadiyyat simply born out of a temporary passion, and they became impressed by something and accepted Ahmadiyyat as a result, and are still standing exactly where they were at the start? We shall only derive benefit when our every step is moving towards progress. Those who have migrated to the developed world need to constantly self-reflect and to see if their better and improved conditions have taken them away from faith.
حالات نے انہیں دین سے دور تو نہیں کر دیا.
Have they been affected by the affluence of Europe and forgot about their faith? By the grace of God Almighty, many people have come here from Kosovo and Eastern European countries and have accepted Ahmadiyyat and have accepted the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They should also remember that God Almighty has greatly blessed them. In short, there are numerous kinds of people here who have joined Ahmadiyyat, be they born Ahmadis or who later accepted Ahmadiyyat, those who migrated here or the natives of Denmark. They all need to reflect upon these things. They need to reflect upon the fact that are they trying to adhere to the true teachings of Islam, so that they may fulfill the obligations of taking the bath of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, as I have mentioned earlier, that whether one is a born Ahmadi, a long-term Ahmadi, or a newly converted to Ahmadiyyat, every Ahmadi man and woman needs to assess themselves whether they are fulfilling or trying to fulfill the rightful dues of our bayt. Are we trying to fulfill the responsibilities which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has placed upon us? And are we trying to mold our condition according to the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam? And are we trying to bring up our children in a manner which instills in them to give precedence to faith over worldly matters from the very start? Are our own examples a role model for our children in accordance to the teachings of Islam? Is our prayers, our worship, and every action of ours in accordance to the teachings of God Almighty and His Prophet? Each person can find the answers to these by self-reflecting. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has guided us in order to have a deeper understanding of these matters and in order to improve the standard of assessing ourselves. In regards to what the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expected from us, I will present a few extracts before you. Counseling the members of his community in one of his gatherings, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said with great heartfelt passion, "In these turbulent times when misguidance, negligence, and misdirection are rampant, our Jamaat should adopt righteousness." The current situation of the world is such that God Almighty's commandments are not held in greatness, and there is no regard for the rights and instructions given. They do not discharge their responsibilities, and nor do they fulfill the instructions given to them. People are too engrossed in the world and in its affairs. Any minor worldly loss sustained makes people abandon faith. Instead of giving precedence to faith, they give precedence to the world. They seek to save their worldly material, even at the expense of faith. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "Any minor worldly loss sustained makes people abandon faith." And also their obligations towards God Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further says, "Just as we see in court cases and matters of inheritance, These issues are observed during the time of inheritance being split among the relatives, and this happens even today. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states that mutual dealings are based on greed, and many show weakness when faced with selfish desires. They do not dare commit sin when they are in a state of weakness. However, as soon as some weakness is alleviated and there is a chance to commit sin, they immediately get embroiled in it. If they are refraining from committing sin, it is not because they are overcome with piety, but because they do not have the courage and are overcome with the fear regarding certain matters. However, they begin to commit sin as soon as the fear is gone. The Promised Messiah says, "No matter where you look these days, you will see that true righteousness is lost and true faith does not remain." However, since God Almighty does not will to ever waste the seed of true righteousness and faith, in other words, God Almighty does not want the seed of true righteousness and faith in people to be wasted. And so, whenever God Almighty sees that the field is close to ruin, He prepares a new field. The Holy Quran continues to remain in its pristine form, just as God Almighty states that verily we ourselves have sent down this exhortation, and most surely we will be its guardian. Also, a large portion of the ahadith, i.e. the sayings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, also remain, and the blessings. But the hearts are devoid of faith and practice. This was an illustration of the affairs back then, and it still exists today. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further says, "God Almighty has sent me so that such matters are revived once again." When God saw that the field was empty, then owing to His divinity, He was not pleased for the field to remain empty. God Almighty saw that people's hearts were beginning to become empty of piety and righteousness. And so, God Almighty, owing to His compassion for mankind, did not want this field to remain empty. And He did not want for people to remain distant. Therefore, now to contend with them, God Almighty wishes to create a new people who are living. And for this, we propagate so that the life of righteousness may be attained. Thus, as I mentioned, that this is not a description of the state of the people of that time when the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was giving this advice. In fact, we can observe all of this today also. How many of us are there who adhere to the commandments of God Almighty? Let's leave the others aside. How many of us who claim to have done the bayat of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam adhere to the commandments of God Almighty? These are the assessments that we need to make about ourselves. God Almighty states that He created the men and the jinn so that they worship Him. And so, do we sacrifice our worldly matters for the worship of God? Or is our case the opposite? And instead, our worship of God is sacrificed for the worldly matters. There are also those that if they do offer their salat on time, they do it in a manner as if they want to offload themselves of it. Leaving aside those who have not accepted the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many among us who are in this state. God Almighty says that when dealing with one another, you should deal with kindness. However, there are many who, let alone be kind, They usurp others. There are also those who cannot tolerate worldly loss, but they tolerate their loss in matters regarding faith. There are many among us who cannot control their emotions and are inflamed at trivial matters. If the others do such things, we can say that they are ignorant. But it is certainly regrettable if any one of us is like this. Therefore, everyone can carry their own assessment on these issues. And we should keep these words of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, in view, that God Almighty wishes to create a new people who are living. Thus, we have done the bath so that we can be counted among those living people. And therefore, in order to fulfill this, we will have to pay attention to the words of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, so that we are counted among the living people. Guidance is dependent upon effort and righteousness. If one does not develop righteousness and does not make an effort and does not put oneself through hardships and is not ready to sacrifice for the sake of faith, until then one cannot acquire true guidance. Regarding this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, when a person tries to look for the path of Allah the Almighty merely out of fear of Him and prays for the resolution of this matter, then in accordance with His law of وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, that and as for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways. Allah the Almighty Himself holds the hand of such a person and shows him the way. In their search for the path of Allah the Almighty, they make such an effort along with supplications, so that their vices may be removed, and Allah the Almighty may commune with them. To achieve that, as Allah the Almighty has stated in the verse of the Holy Quran that I have just recited, that if you strive in the path of Allah the Almighty, He will guide you in His paths. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that in accordance with this verse, Allah the Almighty Himself holds the hand of such a person and shows him the way and grants him inner peace. However, if one's heart is an abode of darkness and prayer is heavy on one's tongue and one's faith is contaminated with shirk by associating partner with God and harmful innovations, then what value does such prayer hold? What kind of prayer would that be if the heart itself is engulfed by darkness? An apparent form of supplication would be there, but the words of prayer would not be uttered with ease. As for the faith, so the outward expression of faith would be that praise be to Allah, we are Muslims, and we do not associate partners with Allah the Almighty. All this is well and good in terms of beliefs. What, however, is the practical example? Such people are guilty of shirk, different kinds of harmful innovations. They have created many incorrect innovations in religion. If such a condition exists, then true supplication cannot be made. The promised Messiah states, how can one seeking of something be proper if it does not yield good results? If such an unwarrantable desire exists, then it cannot yield good results. Therefore, if such condition persists, then that seeking of God will not be termed true seeking, and such a supplication will not be termed as a supplication which arises from the depths of one's heart. The aim of such an effort or prayer will not be to attain the pleasure of Allah and to act upon His commandments, because it will not be yielding good results. Thus, it is very clear that if good results are not being yielded, then we should realize that there exists some weakness on our part, or a deficiency in the prayers, or we are not accustomed to the correct ways and methods of supplication, or we are not acting upon the commandments of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah says, man is not worthy of God's help and succor unless he only seeks from God Almighty, and does so with a clean heart and true sincerity, having shut the doors of all unwarrantable ways and hopes upon himself. When he submits on the threshold of Allah the Almighty alone, and only prays to him, then he attracts that help and grace. When such a state is developed, then one selflessly submits on the threshold of the house of Allah the Almighty and prays to him. Such is the state that attracts the help and succor of Allah the Almighty, and one truly attains it. And it also becomes a source of mercy for him, and the individual becomes a recipient of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah states, Allah the Almighty has sight of the inner recesses of man's heart. Therefore, do not assume that Allah the Almighty is unaware. God in heaven is aware of every corner of man's heart. And if there is any wickedness, shirk, or any harmful innovations in any of these recesses, the prayer and worship of such a person is rejected and thrown back at him. Thus, one should endeavor to purify one's heart. There should be no darkness in the heart anyway, nor any aspect of shirk, i.e. associating partners with Allah. No desire for any harmful innovations should find its way into one's heart. Otherwise, worship cannot be termed as true worship, and Allah the Almighty does not accept it and throws it back at the individual. The promised Messiah states, however, when he sees that one's heart is pure and free from any kind of selfish desires or ignorance, he opens the doors of his mercy upon such an individual. He takes him under his own protection and takes the responsibility of his nurturing upon himself. When one's heart is finally purified, and one undertakes everything in order to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then he takes the responsibility of his nurturing and all his needs upon himself. Thus, a true Ahmadi will have to cleanse his or her heart from every kind of shirk and harmful innovations. Those who say, we engaged in extensive and intense supplications for prolonged periods, but they were not accepted. Such people should scrutinize their hearts. And they should see whether they have been guilty of any hidden shirk, or are involved in any kind of harmful innovations, or are carrying out actions that Allah the Almighty has forbidden. At one occasion, while explaining that the purpose of establishing this community was for the development of righteousness, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that Allah the Almighty has revealed to me that he intended the establishment of this community because righteousness had declined. Therefore, everyone should remember that the reason for the establishment of this community is for the purpose of developing righteousness. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, some people are even openly involved in immoral acts and live a life of wickedness. And some are such that their actions are contaminated by impiety. However, they are unaware that if good food is contaminated by even a small amount of poison, then all of it becomes poisonous. There are many amongst us who perform good deeds but are involved in certain vices that are devouring those righteous acts. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that if good food is contaminated by a small amount of poison, then all of it becomes poisonous. There are some people who get involved in delicate sins which have further complex branches such as pretense, etc. Now, Allah the Almighty intends to show an example of a life of righteousness and purity to the whole world. Therefore, He has established this community for this very reason. He desires purification, and His intent is to establish a pious community. The Promised Messiah is saying that we ought to illustrate an example of righteousness and purity. Now, we need to examine ourselves. Are we in a state that we may become models of righteousness and purity, so that others may take heed from our examples? Thus, we can undertake such assessments in view of our own conditions. Furthermore, as to how He envisages His community, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that Allah the Almighty has Himself established this community with His own hands. And even then, we see that many people who join have vested interests. God Almighty has established this community with His own hands, so that a jamaat is established that treads upon righteousness, and a jamaat is established that reforms themselves. However, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that even in spite of this, such people come to us who have personal motives. They do not desire to attain virtue and righteousness. Rather, they have vested interests as to why they join. The Promised Messiah further states, if their motives are fulfilled, then well and good. Otherwise, neither their religion remains nor their faith. When they leave, no faith remains within them. However, in comparison, when we observe the lives of the companions, then we do not find a single incident the like of. They never did anything like this. Our bath is that of repentance. The bath that we do of the Promised Messiah alayhi salat, it is a bath of repentance that we shall repent from our sins and we shall pray to Allah the Almighty to further remain steadfast in virtues. The Promised Messiah states that their bath, i.e. their pledge, i.e. the pledge of the companions, was one of putting their lives at stake. Their pledge or their bath entailed that of risking their lives, because in that era it was the jihad of the sword, and they all remained prepared for this at all times. On one side, they would make the pledge, and on the other side, they would give up their property, wealth, respect, and lives, meaning that they were the masters of nothing. And in this manner, all their desires would become disassociated from the world. And all their desires in order to gain all respect, grandeur and glory were terminated. And nothing was of theirs. Neither did they care for their own esteem, neither did they desire any glory, and nor did they desire any great authorities. Their only objective was to always remain ever ready for the sake of Islam through their lives, wealth, time, and honor. And we also make this pledge today. However, there are some, even from amongst the office bearers, that desire for offices, and they think that perhaps through them, on a minor scale, their glory can be manifested through it. If offices are received, then instead of being grateful to Allah the Almighty and to serve religion with more zeal than before, there is no attention given towards this factor and they just conjecture about their offices. Thus, office bearers should pay attention towards this. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, who thought that they would become kings? Who thought this from amongst the companions? That they would become kings, or that they would become victors of countries. The state of the Arabs at the time was such that no one could ever imagine this. No, not at all. These thoughts were not even within their scope of thinking. Rather, they distanced themselves from all types of desires, and they were ready at all instances to endure all hardships and sorrows in the way of God Almighty with complete pleasure. They did not desire glory, and they did not desire authority, and nor did they desire any glory or any grandeur. They desired sacrifice, and therein lied their pleasure, and therein they found bliss. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, they always remain compelled to part with their lives. Their own state was such that they were totally separate and detached from this world. Yet, this is a separate matter that Allah the Almighty graced them and blessed them. They were ready for all types of sacrifices. However, Allah the Almighty showered His grace and blessed them so much through His bounty. And those who gave up everything in His way, that He granted them a thousandfold. He gave them a thousand more bounties. Then, in a very heartfelt manner, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has drawn our attention towards the betterment of our morality and treading upon virtues and abstaining from vices by stating, when a person demonstrates a great change in his moral conduct to his neighbor, it is as if he demonstrates a miracle. If our neighbors observe a difference within us after our becoming Ahmadi, or every Ahmadi that behaves with his neighbor in such a way that he becomes astonished that this person is no ordinary person, then in fact he demonstrates a miracle. He displays such works which, when observed, others are left startled. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, his influence leaves a good impact upon the neighbor, and due to such high morals, the neighbors are influenced, and an extraordinary impact is left upon them. The promised Messiah states, they criticize our community that we do not know what advancement has been made, and they forge lies that its members cast aspersions and give into anger and rage. The promised Messiah is in fact informing us about the enemies, the outsiders who criticize the Jamaat and forge these lies. They raise allegations that by becoming Ahmadi, what advancements have we made, and that we are still engrossed in lying, aspersion, ill-thinking, and anger. However, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that is this not a means of shame for them? That people came here thinking well of this community. Now, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, is referring to those people who have become Ahmadi, that it is a source of embarrassment for them because they joined Ahmadiyyat considering it to be something good, or that someone saw them as something good and came and joined the community. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, just as a pious son enhances his father's good name, that is because a person who pledges allegiance comes within the command of a son. Because a righteous, obedient, pious son becomes a means for his father's good name. And so the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that one who pledges allegiance falls under the category of the son. And the argument that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, presented for this was just as the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wives were called mothers of the believers. Likewise, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the father of the believers. If the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wives are mothers of the believers, then this means that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the father of believers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that one's physical father is a means for him to being brought into this world. In our natural life, everyone has a father, and it is through the mother and the father that it becomes a means for a soul or the body or for the child to come into this world. The child comes into this world due to his parents, and due to one's father, one is bestowed with this life in the physical sense. Yet, the spiritual father causes one to go towards the heavens. A physical father brings the child into this world, And the spiritual father takes the child towards heaven. He enhances his spirituality and he guides him towards that real focal point. In other words, he guides him towards God Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that does a son desire to cause dishonor to his father? A son will never desire to disgrace his father, and neither shall a father desire that his son should dishonor him. Therefore, just as it has been mentioned before, that your conduct should be such that neither should you be a means of derailing someone, and nor one who disgraces his father. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that does a son desire that he should disgrace his father? If he visits women of ill repute, or if he gambles, or drinks, and commits other sinful acts, if he embroils himself in such acts, would a father prefer this? No Muslim father would ever desire that his son should indulge in such acts. In fact, these are such acts that even non-Muslims will dislike this. The promised Messiah states that if he drinks and commits such sinful acts that become a means for his father's dishonor, the promised Messiah says that I know that no man desires this act should happen. However, when a prodigal son commits such an act, then people will certainly talk. Therefore, if a son behaves in a bad manner, this will give people a chance to talk about this, and people will spread gossip about him as well as his father. They will talk and say that so-and-so's son is behaving in a very bad manner. Such an unfortunate son brings disrepute to his father. In the same way, if a person joins this community and does not respect the true value and status of this community and acts in a way which is contrary to his community's values, then he is liable in the sight of God and he will be held to account. And this is because he not only chose the pathway of ruins for himself, but also because he put others off from accepting the path of righteousness and guidance through his bad behavior. Hence, what was said in the beginning is fully explained here. So as far as you people can, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that as far as you can seek Allah's support, try your utmost to reform your weaknesses. Where you find you are failing, supplicate with absolute conviction and belief. Because prayers done with total dedication and commitment and based on devotion and truth never go to waste. Try your best, and if your efforts do not succeed, then do not think that nothing further can be done now. Pray, pray and pray again, and give your supplication your all. But you must make sure that you raise your hands in prayer with honesty and truth. It is best to pray to God while reflecting on one's true motives with complete honesty. While praying, contemplate that what you are saying is the truth. Ensure that you pray for exactly what you want and seek this from Allah the Exalted. Because this will bring about a deep motivation within you that will help you to pray while truly bowing down to God. Such prayers are never rejected and Allah the Exalted blesses them with acceptance. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, that I say with total conviction, as I have the experiences that thousands of my prayers have been accepted and are still being accepted. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that this is undeniably true, that everyone who does not have sympathy for his fellow human being is miserly. If you do not have the urge to empathize with your colleagues and other human beings, then this means that you are a miser. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that if I see a path that leads to success and prosperity, then it is my duty to call the public to this path in a loud and clear manner. This is indeed our duty. We saw the path to blessings and prosperity in Ahmadiyyat. That is why we accepted Ahmadiyyat. Therefore, it is our duty to urge people and invite them to the path that will enhance their worldly life and the hereafter. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that we should not worry if anyone will follow us or not. Our duty is to call everyone to the path of goodness. We are here to reform people, so don't worry about who is following our teaching and who is not. The promised Messiah said in a Persian line, meaning that whether someone listens or not, I will continue to advise them. Therefore, by setting ourselves as role models, we will need to focus on tabligh, by propagating the message. This is a responsibility of every Ahmadi, and Ahmadi should pay special attention to this. A time will come when people will listen to us. As the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said, that we must do our best to convey the message of Ahmadiyyat, even if no one listens to us. However, along with that, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that after joining the community, we have to ensure to adhere to the higher standards, as this will attract people towards us. Then, whilst advising us to make ourselves better individuals, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that one revelation which I have received, this is a revelation in regards to the plague. There are some Arabic words before this as well. The meaning of this is that whosoever will come into your home, I will save him. However, along with this, it is also stated meaning, except those who think they are greater than others. And the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, explained this, that those who are not fully obedient. Of course, only those people will be fully obedient who have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He further says that those who are not fully obedient are also referred in this. And this is something that should send shivers down one's spine, that on one hand, God Almighty has given a guarantee that whosoever will come into your home, I will protect him. And on the other hand, it is said that those who are not fully obedient will not fall under this guarantee. It will not be obligatory for such people to be protected by Allah the Almighty, and nor will it be mandatory for God to protect such people. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, that is why it is essential to read Kishtinu and read the Holy Quran again and again and act accordingly. Who knows what may happen? You have received the curse of your nation. A lot of people have enmities after they become Ahmadis. However, if one takes this curse, and God Almighty is still not pleased with him, and is deprived of the mercy and blessings of God, then it will be very difficult for such an individual. The promised Messiah says that the media creates such an uproar in newspapers and try to oppose us in every possible manner. These days, this opposition is increasing, and this is why many of our Ahmadis come to Europe from Pakistan. The promised Messiah says, but they should remember that the work of God Almighty is blessed, but it is essential for us to reform and bring about a change within ourselves to attain a part of that blessing. And that is why we should reflect upon our faith and our actions. You should reflect upon your faith and your actions. That have you changed and purified yourselves to the extent that your heart becomes the throne of God Almighty and that you come under His protection? Thus, it is essential for us to reflect upon this. Whether you are new Ahmadis or long-term Ahmadis, after accepting the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, until and unless we practically reform ourselves, we cannot benefit from the blessings which are to be received by accepting the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. and nor can we come under the protection of God Almighty. The promised Messiah states that humility is like a seed in the case of faith. Then when one stops indulging in unnecessary talk, one's faith blossoms. To develop humility is like the state of a seed in terms of faith. And when this faith is established, and one no longer indulges in unnecessary talk, and one develops humility, then faith, as a flower blossoms, so too does one's faith blossom. The promised Messiah also said that by offering zakat, spiritual branches of this tree begin to grow. Then those who offer financial sacrifice, give zakat, and spend in the way of Allah, they help that flower or the tree to blossom or grow even further, and it begins to grow branches which then strengthen the tree. The promised Messiah then said that by overcoming one's personal desires, those branches become stronger and firmer. And when a person develops lustful desires, bad inclinations, or personal desires, and becomes inclined towards evil, and then battles them and overcomes them instead of following or fulfilling them, when one reaches such a state where he overcomes his passions and destroys his inner desires, then the branches which have grown from the tree become stronger and firmer. The promised Messiah further states that by protecting the covenant and trust that one has, then the trunk of the tree of faith becomes even stronger. The promises which you have made, and all of that which has been entrusted upon you, this must be properly protected. And everyone has made a pledge to give precedence to faith over worldly affairs. This pledge is repeated in Khudam al-Ahmadiyya, Ansarullah and Lajna, and the whole community also makes this pledge at the time of birth. But only if you protect your pledges and the trusts you have been given. However, what are those trusts? For instance, those who are the office bearers, they have been given the trust of their offices. And then the other Ahmadis have the trust placed upon them of exhibiting the true examples of being an Ahmadi, and that they have the responsibility not to become a means of causing one to stumble in their faith. If we do this, then this tree of faith will be established on a firm stem or a trunk, and all of this will together strengthen the tree. Then, regarding the arrival of the time for the tree to bear fruit, the promised Messiah ﷺ says, when the tree grows and the time to yield fruit arrives, a new power of God is manifested upon it, because without that power, no fruit or flower can be yielded. Thus, when the tree becomes strong, Allah the Almighty's grace descends and causes it to bear fruit, and it benefits from the grace of Allah the Almighty. Therefore, we need to develop humility, which will help us fulfill the obligations of curbing our base desires. It can also help us progress in our faith, and it can help us avoid the ills that have surrounded us and are available in every home through television and the internet. The negative impacts of these are very important to avoid for safeguarding the progression of our faith. If we achieve this, only then, with the grace of Allah the Almighty, can we become branches that bear fruit and flower, and we can become such people who protect themselves and their progenies in this life and the hereafter. At one occasion, the promised Messiah ﷺ gave news of the bright future of the community and said that this era is also an era of a spiritual battle. The battle has commenced with Satan, and Satan is attacking the fortress of Islam with all its arms and strategies, and he desires to defeat Islam. However, in this era, God Almighty has established this community to once and for all defeat Satan in this final battle. Thus, we need to self-reflect and to see if our conditions are such that we are ever prepared for the battle with Satan. The promised Messiah والسلام, said, "Blessed is the one who recognizes this community. This time is short, and reward can be garnered in this time period. Although the time to garner the reward is short, however the time is nigh when Allah the Almighty will establish the truth of this community even brighter than the sun. That time will be such when belief would not result in reward. When the truth becomes as bright as the sun, then people will of course come to believe. However, it will not be a source of reward for them, and it will be as though the door to repentance will be closed. Although the belief will be accepted by God, but the standards of belief will not be like those we see today, when the world considers us to be of no significance." The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that at this point in time, the one who believes in me, it is as though they have to strive in a great battle against their inner self. And the one who believes will see that at times he has to leave his family, and efforts will be made to place hurdles and losses in his worldly businesses. He will have to listen to harsh words against him. And nowadays this is happening in many countries, especially in the Muslim countries. He will have to listen to people cursing him. However, he will be rewarded by Allah the Almighty for bearing all these hardships. And when the other time comes, when the world rushes towards believing in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, like water flows from a high cliff, and no one will remain to be seen who continues to reject, then at that time, what weight will belief hold? Believing in that time will not be an act of bravery. Reward is always granted at a time of grief. The promised Messiah said that when Hazrat Abu Bakr left aside the possibility of rulership of Mecca, he could have become the chief of Mecca, but instead accepted the Holy Prophet ﷺ. But God Almighty granted him the kingship of an entire world. Then Hazrat Umar took on a cloak. In other words, he adopted humility and accepted Islam. He became poor, and relatively he did not remain as wealthy as he was. The promised Messiah ﷺ said, that now come what may, we have set afloat our boat into the river. This is exactly what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu practically did. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did God keep away any of his reward? Never. Whoever makes even a small effort for the sake of God Almighty, he does not pass away without having received the reward of his actions. Action is the prerequisite. One's own actions are necessary, and it is necessary that one tries to excel himself. Then does God grant his rewards. It has been mentioned in the hadith that if a person travels towards God with slow pace, however God Almighty runs towards that person. The promised Messiah said that belief is when a person believes in something that is not apparent. Only that person can be called sharp-eyed who managed to see the moon in its earlier stages. The one who sees the moon in its first day or the first 3 days has sharp eyes. However, the one who begins to boast that he has seen the moon when the moon is in its 14th day, then that person would be considered as a madman. May Allah the Almighty enable us to strengthen our faith. May we follow the commandments of Allah the Almighty to achieve His pleasure. May we fulfill the pledge we have made to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. May we guide the world towards the path of truth with our actions. And may we show true gratefulness to Allah the Almighty for all His favors upon us. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.